The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Really, really busy news day today, which really very tragically started last night. If you were watching the news in the evening, you noticed that, was it about in the 8 o'clock hour or so, reports started coming in of just an absolutely awful tragedy, a Black Hawk helicopter colliding with an airline jet out of Wichita, Kansas. And the worst of the fears have been confirmed that there will be no survivors from this crash. It's, you know, the one thing that I really love about X is the breadth of information and knowledge that you get, and you can consume it as fast as it's coming. But then at the same time, the thing that you have to be, it's not that I don't like it about X, because there's no way to have one without the other. This is the way free speech works, that people can say things and react to things, and you have to be on your toes and be patient enough to consume things with a very watchful eye and a discerning ear and a discerning mindset. And when something like yesterday happens, you know, it's not lost on me that who are the of all of the people who have been confirmed in the president's cabinet, I don't even know how many of them have actually been. Let's see, line. I'm going to pull this back up from Wikipedia because they've been updating it like on at the minute. The line of succession, the people in President Trump's cabinet. You have the president, the vice president, the speaker of the house. Those are all elected into the president pro tem, Chuck Grassley. That had been elected in right away. But you've got a whole bunch of people in the cabinet. They're having their hearings. We're going to talk about the Cash Patel hearing here in a bit. Tulsi Gabbard is answering questions in committee today as well. They've confirmed the secretary of state. He's been sworn in, Marco Rubio. Scott Bessent has been in as the secretary of treasury. But you've got three other people, Homeland Security, which is Kristi Noem, Sean Duffy, who's the Secretary of Transportation, and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. So you have a Black Hawk helicopter crashing into an airline jet the day that the Secretary of Transportation is sworn in. And I'm not saying this to insinuate that there's anything nefarious about it. I'm saying this to say, get these people in their positions so that they are able to act on behalf of the American people, especially when tragedy strikes. Rachel Campus Duffy, who has been on this show many times, she is part of the Fox and Friends Weekends crew that was side by side with Pete Hegseth for so long. Watching her stand by Sean Duffy when he's getting confirmed yesterday, I'm watching her ex feed her beautiful family, 9 children, just all the behind the scenes photographs that were coming off of her ex profile yesterday. I was watching them closely because she, like I said, they have an absolutely beautiful family. She's great at capturing the moment and seeing the humanity behind a moment like that, where your husband is, he's been in Congress before. He's been a Fox News contributor on, you know, particular issues over the course of the last few years since he's left Congress. But now he's in the cabinet of the president of the United States. That is a momentous day. And watching your children, her youngest Valentina has Down syndrome, and she's just beautiful and joyful and happy. And one of her other children filmed Valentina watching her father swear in. And I mean, you cannot fit that much joy in one video. It was amazing to see. And then this accident happens. And initially on X, if you're consuming your news on X, and if you ask Elon Musk, he's saying you're the news media now. Everybody is on X when something like this happens. You might have the news on in the background, your news of choice, if you're watching Fox News like I am, or if you're consuming CNN or Newsmax or what's Cuomo on? News Nation. I'm not mad at that. I don't look for it, but I'm not mad at it. You're consuming news the old-fashioned way, but you're also ahead of the news on X. You'll see things on X that haven't been broadcast on your traditional news media because it's not confirmed hard enough for the big news media places to broadcast that quite yet. That's the day and time that we live in. And I'm watching on X the news reports coming in. Initially, they had said 4 survivors. There were not survivors.
Right.
You don't want to be on Fox News reporting that 4 survivors have been pulled and have to pull that back. But on X, that those conversations are happening. And that, I mean, that's actually like puts you at the scene of something like this more, because those conversations come from somewhere. And then they get tested and they get debunked, and then you get the truth. And what a good news organization should do is wait for the truth to be out there. Don't be first. Be right. But knowing that we have a Secretary of Defense who gave a press conference or a report today publicly with Pete Hegseth talking about the training session and the Black Hawk flight path and all of this stuff, that you have somebody there who can address that to the American people, and having a Secretary of Transportation who can be on scene that night, leave his family on this momentous day where it's a very huge personal moment for that family. But that's not what the job is. The job isn't a personal moment. The job is on behalf of the American people to be there and be present. It's indicative to me of how important it is that we very quickly get these people into their position so they can get to the business of the people. Donald Trump nominates them unless they are not qualified, and that's the case that they're all going to try to make. But it's always amazing to me how everything for every person that they put up there has something to do with January 6th. The Democrats are like, the first thing they say to you is, you know, about January 6th. I posted this on X. The Democrats are so in love with January 6th, they should marry it.
Mm.
They can't let go of the J6 thing. And I believe firmly that America is past January 6th. You think what you think about it, and the vast majority of people think real crap day in American history for a whole variety of reasons. And I think the vast majority of Americans think, how would you say it? There were good people on both sides.
Yeah.
And that the politicization of that day is the real un-American part of what came out of it. It became a political poker chip to try to inflate it to the point where it is the only thing that matters to these people. It's the only thing that you should care about as an American citizen when you listen to the Democrats. They think it's the only thing. They think democracy died that day. And here, in the face of their pushing of the idea that democracy died on January 6th, we were so close to losing that, even with all of the mainstream news media able to prepackage and tie the pretty bow on top and serve it up to the American people, that 4 years later, the person who led the charge against the death of democracy, America, chose more than they had ever chosen before to send that guy back to fix it. To give America back to the people. They did everything they possibly could to try to take this away from you and give it to the swampy stalwarts that are in Washington, D.C., because they needed you to understand one thing, and it's January 6th. Saying that date should be enough in an exchange between two people for everybody to understand. Yeah, I understand what's going on here. January 6th. America does not care about January 6th. They care about open borders. They care about prices at the grocery store and the gas pump. They care about security within their own communities. They care about making sure their children are safe from imported drugs that are trafficked across the southern border. Children who are trafficked throughout our country. These are the things that Americans care about. They care about American integrity. They care about American elitism. And it's not a bad thing to say that anymore. These are the things that Americans care about. And watching Kash Patel today sit in front of this committee and watch the Cory Bookers of the world, the Dick Durbins of the world, get their opportunity to grandstand and bring up these nonsense things talking about You know, Crossfire Hurricane, you remember that? You remember when they tried to set up the president of the United States? Do you remember when they started spying on people in the United States, even though they knew that the substance, the evidence by which they were getting the access approved to spy on Americans was baloney sausage? They knew that the whole time, and they didn't care because their ends justify the means every time on the left. That is the way they function. You are not the priority. In fact, you're not even a consideration. And they think that they can dump all of this swamp bureaucratic protection down into your tiny little brains with your very few small brain cells that you choose to rub together every once in a while. Let's just simplify things and remember January 6th and all the stooges out in the electric. Oh, yeah, January 6th was a really bad day. That was the worst day in America. That 9/11, shut the hole in your face. People don't believe that. I mean, it's actually absurd to suggest that at this point. It's outrageous to suggest that at this point. Stop trying to make January 6th happen. It's not going to happen. You on the left, you pardon your whole family, where you were selling the interests of the American people for your own personal gain and benefit. You said you weren't going to do it. But you did it anyway, and nobody bats an eye. Donald Trump campaigns on pardoning the January 6ers, and then you use it as a way to badger the people who chose to send Donald Trump into the presidency, who gave him the authority to nominate people who will get the agenda done that he promised the American people that he would do, and you're going to badger those people over the head? Keep doing it. Democrats, you are the best thing the Republicans have going right now. Don't stop. Keep going. I will make you shirts that say January 6th on it to remind everybody everywhere you go that it's the only thing you care about in spite of the American people, in spite of actually getting votes. You are not listening to the American people. You are not paying attention to what the American people are saying to you. And I guess at the end, bad for the Democrats, good for the Republicans, ergo, good for the United States of America. We need these cabinet positions to be filled. The suffering that is taking place in America as they watch that helicopter and that plane collide is very traumatizing, of course, for the people who are personally related to it. But anytime something like this happens with your military, with your commercial airlines, every American goes, oof. And you think about how that could, if it could happen to them, how could it happen to you? We need competent people in charge. And the American people chose Donald Trump to pick those competent people to be in charge. You need to confirm these people and you need to expedite the process. We're going to listen to Eric Schmidt in a little bit. Did Hans get back to you?
Not yet.
Not yet. We're going to talk to Hans about, I'm sure he's fine with this, Kash Patel, his qualifications to be FBI director, and what needs to happen at the FBI in order for the American people to gain trust in it. I mean, of all of the places, Ryan, I would think that the FBI is where we have the biggest, the Justice Department, but the FBI is where people are going. Big transformational change needs to happen.
FBI, DOJ, I mean, RFK is a part of that conversation too with Health and Human Services. Are they actually looking out for the American people? Are they in bed with all the companies? But yeah, that's why this is a big week. Kash Patel is on the stand right now. Listen to a good portion of that. I don't think I've heard anything that's going to sink that ship. So we'll see.
Do you want to play a little Eric Schmidt here before we get to Hans?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's listen in. Eric Schmidt is on the committee hearing for Kash Patel, and we'll look to connect with Senator Schmidt very soon, but let's listen in a little bit to what he had to
say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to see you, Ms. Patel. It's great to have your family here. I know they must be very proud. I have to tell you, I saw up close and personal how politically weaponized the FBI had become. In my former job as Attorney General of Missouri, we brought the Missouri versus Biden lawsuit, which uncovered this vast censorship enterprise where the federal government coerced and colluded with some of the biggest companies in the history of the world to suppress speech. And not just that, actually to pre-bunk the Hunter Biden laptop story. The FBI had the laptop in November of 2019. They met with senior executives. Yoel Roth, who was the main guy at Twitter at the time signed an affidavit saying they were talking specifically about the laptop. It could be Hunter Biden's, pre-bunking it, calling it a Russian hack and leak operation. They knew it was true. They knew it was his laptop. So the rot is deep, and the time for you is now, and I'm glad, because reform is needed. Senator Durbin referenced your book. I think it's a good, everyone should read the book, because I want to ask you about some quotes that are in the book, because a lot's been made of it, usually just some of the end notes, but the content of the book. Did you say in the book, American justice must never be selective. If the law is applied unevenly, democracy crumbles. Did you say that?
I did, Senator.
When agencies like the FBI and the CIA prioritize politics over truth, the nation suffers. Did you say that?
I sure did, Senator.
Accountability isn't optional. Those who violate the public trust must face real consequences, regardless of their rank or title. Did you say that?
I did, Senator.
Okay. There's a lot more in there. I know that Senator Tillis has got the game of bingo. I'd like to play another game. Would you rather?
Let's have at it, sir.
Would you rather the FBI prosecute and persecute parents who voice legitimate concerns at school board meetings, or should it investigate domestic terrorists who commit school shootings and threaten the lives of American children?
Absolutely investigate and prioritize the safety of our children and any actual and real domestic terrorists, as I've prosecuted in my past in the Obama Justice Department.
Would you rather the FBI be weaponized by investigating presidential candidates, political opponents, spying on and wiretapping candidates' advisors, or should the FBI get back to its core mission and get politics out of the FBI?
There should be no politics in the FBI, and having been a victim of the weaponization of law enforcement against me, I know what that feels like, and if I'm confirmed, I will make sure no American feels that sleight of hand ever again.
Would you rather the FBI target traditional Catholics as extremists, or should the FBI focus on investigating actual threats posed to the American people by cartels pumping fentanyl into our communities through the southern border?
100,000 deaths due to fentanyl and drug overdoses in 1 year. I'd rather the FBI focus on that and save our children.
Would you rather the FBI ignore when thugs threaten to harm and plot against Supreme Court justices? Or should the FBI actually investigate that and get to the bottom of it?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Senator. This body passed a law to protect our justices of the peace, including the Supreme Court, and every single justice of the peace deserves that enforcement of that law so they can do their duty.
Would you rather the FBI pressure social media companies into censoring conservative viewpoints, or should it focus on what the FBI should get back to, which is investigating interstate crimes that threaten the well-being of Americans?
No censorship. Let's focus on investigating interstate crimes.
Would you rather the FBI raid the home of a former president and chief political rival, going through the first lady's personal belongings, spreading out documents on the floor staged, or should it raid the homes of terrorists who seek to harm citizens?
Let's let our men and women in law enforcement kick down the doors of terrorists and narco traffickers and pedophiles and put those people in prison where they belong.
So, I mean, I could go on and on. But let me tell you what I think's really going on here. What I think's going on here is that the folks on the other side can't actually believe and can't come to grips that they're in this position right now, that they're in the minority and that President Trump is back in office. Because what they did was, after he was out of office, they tried to destroy him. They tried to financially ruin him and his family. They tried to intimidate him. They tried to throw him in jail for the rest of his life. They tried to demonize half the country. Their opening and closing argument for the last 4 years has been that President Trump and Republicans are a threat to democracy. But the American people sat in a jury box and they watched. And they weighed the evidence, and they heard all the facts, and they rendered their own verdict. And their verdict was for reform. They don't believe that the people who've been doing this in these positions have done a particularly good job before. They think the deck is stacked against them, and they saw how our justice system was turned against political opponents in a Soviet-style justice system, which moniker was, show me the man, and I'll show you the crime. You, and by the way, I don't think they can believe you're sitting where you're sitting at right now. But guess what? You are. And you're going to get confirmed, and you're going to lead this agency back to what it always should have been, which is to protect the American people, to fight crime, to put the bad guys in jail, not to execute a political agenda like some banana republic form of justice where you point to the person on the other side that you want taken out and you go do that person's bidding. This country was founded on the idea that people could say what they wanted, they could believe what they want, and that the government wouldn't come after them. The government's job is not to tell you what you should think or what you can say or what you can do or what you believe. In this Justice Department under Christopher Wray and under Joe Biden and Merrick Garland has done just that. And that's why the trust has plummeted. So you got a big job. You got a big, big job. But I have all the faith in the world in you that you're going to restore that trust because you believe in the rule of law. You have an incredible personal story. You're going to get confirmed. And I wish you all the best. And you have my vote.
Oh, thank you, Senator. Senator Eric Schmidt, Missouri, you just do so well picking your senators. I couldn't possibly sully this with playing the Dick Durbin sound from earlier. That would make me very angry. Is he not so good? He's agreed to be my adopted senator. And I'm so happy for you, Missouri, and for the country.
Is he looking for more people that could be his constituents?
Is he willing to
adopt
more?
Either we have to be annexed or move. But
could he adopt the show?
Yeah, I think
not both?
I think it's possible.
That was great. That was really good.
Yes, I mean poetic. And watching him deliver that message, and you know, so many of these people like and then they go up and down from their paperwork. Eric Schmidt, you do you. We love it. We got to take a quick break here because Hans von Spakovsky is going to be on with us next. And we're going to talk to him about, is Kash Patel really, really qualified to be the director of the FBI? What is so different about Kash Patel that causes these Democrats to say, no, he's not qualified? Are they afraid of him? Hans is going to give us his thoughts next. Don't go away.
That due process must be provided without bias to all Americans. And if we cannot provide due process to the worst, then there can be no due process for anyone. And our constitutional republic fails.
We the people of the United States.
More perfect.
Third form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert, Hans von Spakovsky.
Yes, Hans von Spakovsky, the right man for the job today as we watch Kash Patel on Capitol Hill in his confirmation hearing. Welcome back to the show, Hans. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. I just want to give you have you been watching this morning?
I have.
Give me what your thoughts are, your top line thoughts on the hearing so far.
Well, I have to say, I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm still just, Democrats really ought to be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they're doing everything they can to attack, I think, one of the most qualified individuals to ever be nominated to be the director of the FBI. And what is it they're afraid of? Well, they apparently are afraid of the fact that he might actually reform and clean up the FBI. And they're afraid of the fact that he was one of the people who helped figure out that the whole Russian collusion investigation was a complete and total hoax. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a very good job of fighting back against that.
You know, Hans, for me, it's like watching the Democrat-Republican pepper back and forth here while Kash Patel is sitting in front of them. The Republicans are talking about Crossfire Hurricane, and they're talking about Russia, and then the Democrats get the ball, and then they start talking about January 6th. These are maybe, I don't know if they're full chapters in American history books in 20 years, but what is the importance of these two events as it is related to Kash Patel and the FBI?
Crossfire Hurricane was part of the hoax perpetrated against Donald Trump. The FBI was deeply and heavily involved in that wrongdoing of basically opening up a serious criminal investigation when they had not only they had no basis to do so, but in fact, individuals knew that they were basing it on opposition generated research, which we now know was actually just a fantasy created by the Clinton campaign. We also know, for example, through that the FBI was caught lying, committing perjury, FBI agents, in applications made to the special secret court, remember, that authorizes electronic surveillance. And that's why the Trump campaign and people working for it were wiretapped and listened to. And, you know, Democrats have been pounding for years. I don't think Adam Schiff has ever admitted that this whole thing was a hoax. And like I said, they're afraid of what Kash Patel may find out when he gets there. And frankly, that he may be letting go and firing FBI agents who were involved in that wrongdoing who are still working there.
When it comes to January 6th, do you feel like the confirmed FBI director owes the American people, the administration, maybe Donald Trump himself, owes them anything regarding what happened that day and how it's been handled so far? Is that even in the purview of the FBI?
Yes, because, you know, at one point, Chris Carr, who is now resigned, who was heading the FBI, admitted that there were FBI informants there, but has refused to provide any detailed information about who they were, what involvement they had, and what happened in January 6th. And that, again, is a big defect. By the way, think about this. Chris Carr, the outgoing FBI director, Democrats just loved him. What was his experience prior to becoming the FBI director? He'd been a lawyer in private practice. And here they are questioning the credentials of Kash Patel, who was a public defender, then a prosecutor with the Justice Department, then a lawyer who worked for the House Intelligence Committee, senior director of counterterrorism at the National Security Council, chief of staff for at the Department of Defense, the acting Secretary of Defense, chief of staff. I don't see how you could have somebody with more experience than that. Experience in criminal prosecution, and most importantly, people seem to forget, it's not the CIA that's in charge of counterintelligence operations in the U.S. It's the FBI. And here you have a man with experience both in criminal prosecutions, which is the main job of the FBI, but also experience in counterintelligence operations, which is the other big job of the FBI.
Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. I want to ask you a little bit more about your thoughts, your judgment on Kash Patel's qualifications to direct the FBI. Does he have the experience and the wisdom he needs to do the job?
Well, look at it this way. The U.S. Department of Defense is much bigger than the FBI. The FBI, even with all of its agents, is a tiny organization personnel-wise compared to the Department of Defense. And as I just said, he served as the chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense, who was running the Pentagon. So, you know, besides his actual experience as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, as in counterintelligence, he actually has experience in running a huge organization with a huge staff, one that was much bigger than the FBI. So I just don't see how anybody could question his qualifications to be the head of the FBI.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. A lot of America, especially those who voted for this, are asking how quickly could Kash Patel or a new head of the FBI clean up the FBI? Is it day one or will it be a process?
Well, it will be a process, but I want everybody to think about the fact that what his boss, the person that would eventually be his ultimate boss, Donald Trump. Think about what Donald Trump has done in a week and a half. He's taken more actions to try to rectify and fix the problems in the federal government than in a week and a half than any president in our entire history. And I don't say that lightly. And I think Kash Patel would act with the same kind of speed. By the way, amongst all this criticism, people should realize that a huge group of former FBI agents, retired and others who'd left, have written a letter of support to Congress for Kash Patel, saying that he is the kind of guy that is needed to reform and clean up the FBI.
Hans, I'm watching the massive amount of executive orders come out of executive actions, proclamations. There are all these different kinds of names for these different initiatives from President Trump. Do you feel as though the kind of drinking from a fire hose that the American people are having to do with all of these actions from the president, is this a good way for President Trump to govern, to get to where he needs to be? Is there a way to abuse that authority that the executive office has? Is he going to run into more legal trouble because of the rapid pace with which he's pushing these out?
No, I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do to try to fix the problems we have. Look, the federal government is so huge these days that trying to change it from its path is like trying to turn around a battleship, which takes it takes a lot of miles headed down the ocean path before you can get it to start turning and turning around. So far, every executive order he's issued has been an executive order that's within the authority of the president. That's very different from the way Joe Biden was issuing executive orders when he was telling government officials to do things that he didn't have the power to do, like saying, well, I'm going to forgive all these student loans when the statute and the Supreme Court has said, well, you don't have the power to do that. That is not what has been going on with the president. And I think people actually ought to admire things he's done. Look, just one quick example. On day one, as the moment he was inaugurated, he entirely changed the Department of Homeland Security, turned it around, and had it doing what it's supposed to be doing. And you know that the number of aliens coming across the border has dropped dramatically, and they have rounded up now thousands of some of the most dangerous criminals in the country. They already got them. They've already been flying them out of the country and returning them to their native land. We just haven't seen anything like this that I can recall in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's been as a 40-year-old myself who's been paying attention pretty closely for probably a little bit less than half of my lifetime. It's amazing to me how much Donald Trump has been able to do in this week and a half that he's been the president. And he's got 3 years and 11 months left to go.
Right.
I'm just kind of excited to see the cleanup taking place immediately, and then hopefully some of his plans and policies to actually get to the progress after the cleanup that takes place after this. So,
by the way, can I just tell you one other quick thing that shows how creative the president is? Remember, one of the things that Biden did was to close down detainer facilities. You know, these are the facilities run by DHS where if they catch an illegal alien, particularly a violent or criminal one, they're jails where they hold these aliens until they can deport them. And the Biden administration was shutting them down. Well, it takes time to reopen that. So what does the president do? He says, well, I'm opening up Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, and I'm going to send the aliens to be held down there. So that's immediately dealing with the problem caused by the Biden administration in closing down detainer facilities. He's already got a solution to it, and he's already working on it.
And he's fearless. You hear that, and you kind of go, whoa. But he's not afraid. He knows what he wants to do, and he's pushing every opportunity, every idea that he has to get it done. It's been wild. Yeah. Hans, thank you for being with us today. It's good to speak with you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky is the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Like every day, I get it. If you're not pro-Trump, this is not good for you. This has not been good for you. I've had a handful of people reach out that are near and dear to me in my life, and I know that we are politically opposite, but our hearts are connected because we know each other's person. We know each other's heart, and we care about each other. But I do know that it is testing those people who are not in agreement on all of these policies right now. It's testing people to think, to look at the other side and be like, how can you be okay with what is taking place right now? When I see that President Trump is looking at sending these people to Gitmo, I think it's brilliant. I love the idea. I have the understanding that he's not going to get children out of schools who are not gang members, who are not criminals. And yes, children can be gang members and children can be criminals. That's how tragic this situation is. There's a difference between what the president is actually doing, what yet again the media is trying to spin it as, because the only thing that matters to them at the end of the day is that Donald Trump's still bad, period. There are lies being told. I'm going to be honest and say this, and this may be unpopular, but I bet if people pause and think, and you know that phrase I hate, let that sink in. I definitely think that there are corners of the Republican voting bloc that are celebrating what's taking place right now in what I would consider an unkind way. I think that you can fully support the policy and the effort by this administration to do what they're doing without fear. That you can say, yes, I support this. 100% support what the president is doing. And I think you can take that to a publicly celebratory level that could, in the long run, hinder our ability to do the whole job.
Yeah, there almost needs to be an attitude with these things of, look, it's unfortunate that we're even in this place before you start talking about the solutions. And big, bold solutions are required. Hans said it. We don't talk about it enough. The creativity within this very competent administration that we've seen so far, that we will continue to see, is impressive. They have to solve problems that people have not had to solve before, mm-hmm. and they have to be creative in doing it. And they're bold about it.
Well, it's important to note, too, that we are in this situation. We're having to clean up these messes in such a unfortunate and sad way because of the plans that were laid in place 4 years ago, 8 to 12 to 10, you know, whatever, long ago, where people weren't concerned about securing the border. They weren't concerned about, you know, fixing immigration. They used it as a political ploy. Joe Biden's administration threw the doors open, and now this is what we have to do. And this is a direct result of Democrat policies on this.
You know, I think back to what we played multiple times yesterday, and I'm going to be honest, we didn't even give it any context because it didn't deserve context. But Chuck Schumer's remarks,
yeah,
about being aroused.
I remember.
I know. We're going to work on getting that into the show sometime, too. I should have it ready right now, but I don't. But do you know what Chuck Schumer was aroused by?
Actually, no, I don't.
Exactly. That's the point. People were not talking about it because it was a reaction to Donald Trump's shutting down of funding. And so much of what has been reported on what was shut down is inaccurate.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not surprising to me that Chuck Schumer would be the mouthpiece of the fetishized arousal of lies being told by a very, very beaten and battered media to try to get people away from the success that Trump is having. The word arousal was the right word for what Chuck Schumer was talking about. And it is repulsive. I'm glad he chose that word because it really speaks directly to how, when he's talking about the people in D.C. being aroused by this lie that has been peddled, it's like, I don't even really need to add to it, to the point where the context should have been added to it.
Yeah, there's,
we'll talk more about it later.
There's no reason to go to the mainstream media for anything at this point, unless you just want to be satiated and, oh, I feel bad. They're going to give me some skewed facts that will confirm the way I already feel.
Yeah, tell me how pretty I am.
Yeah.
Oh, you're real pretty. Okay, thanks. I feel right. Better. Mm-hmm. Wiggins America, when we come back.
Yeah, it's really how to get past a natural disaster. How to get through if you are in the midst of, you know, something that we've seen in the last few months. What to have, what to be ready to have, that kind of stuff.
All right, that with Ryan Wiggins in studio. Brad is going to take us out of the break here. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
All right, this is how to get past a natural disaster, really the supplies that you will need if you are in one or what you would grab on your way out the door.
Ethan, how prepared are you? Very, somewhat, not at all.
The look on your face suggests you're
not prepared at all.
Brad, how prepared are you?
I'd say I'm very prepared.
Ryan?
I would say less than Brad, but more than Ethan.
Can't be much less than me.
I'd say I'm overprepared.
This list is actually what to keep in a bomb shelter.
Okay.
But it applies really to anything.
Step one, acquire bomb shelter.
Yes. Okay. That's kind of like, that's why I'm saying is number one on the list is make sure you have air. So, you know, I think we can skip that one.
If you don't have that, don't even worry about the rest of the list.
Exactly. So what comes to mind as necessities? I'll let you guys just popcorn them if you want, and they're probably on the list. But what comes to mind? I'll try to hit the ones
that
don't.
Just walk us through the list.
Well, okay. Food and water, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are number one and two. I figured you guys would hit those. But how about these? Tools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Really?
Hand tools. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's not something I would have thought of.
Hand tools. Hatchet, hammers.
Yeah. No power tools. I mean, you can have power tools, but you better put them in a Faraday case. Go on.
Whoa.
You guys are really ready for this.
Okay, number five is a Faraday case.
Was it really?
No.
I know, that's
please
advanced.
Please explain a
it
Faraday
would protect
case.
Your electronics from an EMP.
Fantastic.
What's an EMP?
Electromagnetic pulse.
It's a nuclear attack that eliminates the electrical grid for everywhere.
Oh, my God. I'm even less prepared than I thought.
This segment is for you. I didn't realize it was.
It's a good thing it's super short.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got like 2 minutes. So you got to have tools. That's not something I would have thought of, but very, very smart because, gosh, you don't know.
You're more prepared than Ethan, but you wouldn't have thought of tools?
No, I would have had my fudge rounds and like a whole bunch of juice boxes.
Okay.
And then I'm going.
That sounds like something my wife would say.
A lot of sugar. No protein.
Well, you know, I might take some cottage cheese. Not the smartest thing, but I love
it. That's good, especially without refrigeration. Go on.
Right. But it's one of the big containers.
I would only invest in cottage cheese.
Oh, God. Just like a bucket of it.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, a bucket of cottage cheese. And, man, you got to go at that like day one, though.
Hard.
Yeah. And everybody's, I'm saying like family, put your face in that thing. This is going
it's
bad.
It's all you have to eat. But, yeah.
But we got a lot of it.
Get your calories down.
But you have to
in the event that you're listening to this for real advice, that is possibly the worst possible advice that we could give you.
Right.
So.
Milk and eggs. Take that.
I would say.
If you're still listening to this segment.
Milk and powdered eggs.
If you're still listening to this segment.
No, this is good advice.
You're donezo.
No, this is really good advice. You're the person not to listen to. Number five.
Which is usually you.
I know. It's amazing. Trump
yesterday
comes in and
was the day
changes.
I was you, not today.
Number five is warm clothes.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
What about in the middle of summer? Are you thinking about this though?
For sure.
Right now, you would.
I always have a pair of boots, pair of gloves, maybe a couple pair of gloves, and a coat in my truck. Always.
That's smart. Blanket. I always have a blanket in my car. Just in case. We break down the side
of
the road.
Is it your Snuggie?
It's,
is it your cuddle blanket?
Well, it's the kind of blanket that...
It's a tag
tell me
blanket.
If this is a Snuggie.
It's like 18 inches by 18 inches just to make you feel comfortable.
Tiny little blanket.
Yeah.
You can put your arms through it, though.
It's a Snuggie.
Is that a Snuggie? Sounds like one. Number six, batteries.
Mm-hmm.
This seems obvious, but it's not one that I would think first thing to grab.
You need a solar-powered battery charger.
Yes, a solar-powered battery charger is number seven.
No, it's not.
Faraday case.
On Annie's list.
Whatever you say, I'm just going to say it's the next one.
Uh-huh.
The number seven actually is a first aid kit.
Oh, yeah.
This seems like something that's pretty obvious. Again, I keep one of these in my car, but the problem is, I don't know if you ever run into this, I've never faced this level of natural disaster, but if we ever face something, we're on vacation or we're on a road trip, and something actually happens, I forget that this stuff is even in there. So I have it, but you're like, oh, well, I need a Band-Aid. I guess we have to go stop at Walgreens. No, it's in the car. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just use what we have? But what's your first aid kit like? Is it expansive? Is it just like one of those little ones? Do you have everything you need in there?
Tourniquets, stitching, antibiotics, Band-Aids.
Could you pull the glass out of my neck and suture it?
After I put it in your neck? It's kind of defensive.
Whoa!
Yeah. I don't know if I could physically do it, but I'd have the means for somebody who likes you to do it.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd ask you. I'd probably
especially
ask
after yesterday.
Anybody else.
Someone who likes you.
I could do it if I had to do it.
Yoo-hoo! Okay. Can you fix my neck?
Yeah.
I'm bleeding. Number 8, important documents. Mm-hmm. This is one that you really need to grab, especially in the case of, like in the fires, you know, we have one of those little boxes that's supposed to be fireproof, but I wouldn't want to chance it. I'm going to grab that thing on my way out the door.
You have no ability. This was on some of the prepping podcasts that I did with STS Armory. And if you want to talk to them about any type of this stuff, STS Armory, they are tops when it comes to figuring out how to be prepared in ways that you haven't thought about it. But documents, if you, for instance, had an EMP and the electric grid went out, how would you prove that you own anything?
Right.
How would you prove that this is my property? This is my house. If someone comes to take that with force, you better have force to take it back. If you need to prove something on paper, you have to have the paper or you're not going to be able to pull it up.
Now, this one is not on the list. That was the last one. But I'm going to go ahead and add firearms.
Heck yeah.
I mean, that's implied. Like you just said.
Who put out this article?
This is from Leatherman.com.
Well, I was going.
Is that your website, Ryan?
I think they're selling bunkers.
What I was going to say is no matter what article or I guess who put it out, that, well, of course, that's why they didn't put firearms. But that sounds like a company that would put firearms on there.
Jackie says, do a plan and prep event, Annie. I wonder if at STS Armory, I bet they would. If we did an Annie Fry show, how to plan and prep class, would you all come to it? You need to come to it.
I need
time.
To come to it.
Me and Ethan are probably going to be in their front row.
I'd be at this pace, I'm gone in 48 hours.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Maybe.
That's what the movie's about you.
What movie? There's a movie?
Gone in 60 seconds?
Wait, that's an actual movie?
Oh my gosh,
it happens every
break.
Day.
Go to break. Could you go? So tiny young baby over there. First, we have to prepare him on movie history.
We just want you to survive,
and
Ethan.
Then, have you ever heard of the apocalypse?
Sorry,
we'll be right back.
Sorry.